Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Greg Pickle. It's time for Ask Greg. And Ask Greg is brought to you by DraftKings. And it's nice seeing the teams back out on the field over last weekend. Lucky for us, that was only week one. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of week two, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team. Just don't bet on the Eagles. What you need to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. You pick any team during week two. You bet $1 on them, and you win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Greg, I apologize for throwing the Eagles in there, but I can't help it.
That's all right, Jim. I'll excuse you. I will not hold it against you. But yeah, it was horrible. It deserves to be mocked, and it deserves to be mocked and ridiculed because, yeah, it was brutal. That's for sure. No question about that.
Well, I'm an Eagles fan too, Greg, so it hurt me also. But anyway, let's move on because it's time for Ask Greg. If you want to get your question on the air answered by our Greg Pickle, you can send your questions for Greg through the app. There's a real nice button on there that says Ask Greg. You can also email us at info@ksnsports.net, and we will get your question on the air. Chris from State College, he emailed in his question, and this is his question, Greg. We have all asked if Franklin erred by not offering Nolan Rucci's older brother, Hayden, the tight end at Wisconsin. Hindsight being 20/20, but where would Hayden Rucci slot into a very crowded and talented tight end room at Penn State? He wouldn't be above Pat Freiermuth, so logic says that he would not be getting the same amount of playing time at Penn State than he would at Wisconsin. If he's third or fourth string on the Penn State tight end depth chart, perhaps that would have soured Nolan on even considering Penn State. Chris has really thought that one through, Greg.
Yeah, I was going to say a whole lot of hypotheticals there. I think that you can't – I think it's bad business, and I don't get me wrong, I can understand why this could be disputed. But to me, I think it's bad business to offer a player, because his younger brother could be really good and might end up committing to you if you offer him. I just don't think that's the way you want to – that's the precedent you want to set. That's the way you want to go about doing things. And look, Rucci's not the first kid that Penn State offered a family member but not maybe the right – all of the family members or something, and they lost out on a kid that they really wanted. So this isn't the first example of that. But, I mean, yeah, certainly it's unfortunate for Penn State because they really wanted him. And, I mean, if they could go back and do it all over again, perhaps they would – they would maybe decide to offer Hayden, but I don't know. Maybe they won't. They got Brenton Strange in that class. He was a 4-star. They had Pat Freiermuth. They had Zach Kuntz. Later, they would get Theo Johnson. I mean, it's not as if Penn State has recruited the tight end position poorly. In fact, you can make the argument that they know exactly what they are looking for at that position. And for whatever reason at that time, Hayden Rucci wasn't it. So they didn't go that direction. And so, obviously, yeah, it hurts now looking back on it. But I think when you evaluate the entirety of the process, they followed their rules, so to speak, for offering and recruiting tight ends. And I just don't think it's good for business in the long haul if they, you know, if they decide to start doing, you know, if they decide to start offering guys just based on what could happen in the future with a different family member. I mean, for all we know, Hayden Rucci could have ended up anywhere, and his brother could have went to Penn State because he didn't like that school as much as he liked Wisconsin. So if there's no coronavirus pandemic, maybe he doesn't get to sit at home and, you know, maybe hear some of his brother's position meetings and things like that and get a better sense of the Wisconsin coaches. So I think there's a lot more that went into it than just that.
I do too, Greg. And I believe you have to do a – it's a case where if the older brother is not talented enough to be on the roster, the rest of the team is going to know that, and that's not a good thing. If you're in that gray area, on the cusp, you're not sure yes or no, I do think there are some things that could be a tiebreaker. Are they from Pennsylvania? Are they from a school that you want to recruit heavily? Are they a brother or a teammate of a player that you're looking to bring in? But those things should only be as a tiebreaker. They shouldn't be the case where, no, we wouldn't have recruited this player otherwise. All right.
Let me just make one more point there, Jim, if you don't mind. Yeah, to your point about being a PA kid, I completely agree. And I also would say that Penn State doesn't go out of its way to not offer PA kids and watch them go play somewhere else. So, again, I think that they had a plan in place for whatever reason. Hayden Rucci didn't fit that plan. And, you know, so it goes now a couple years later when his brother is a five-star offensive tackle. But, you know, I think it just is what it is, unfortunately.
And for those who didn't hear, our own Ross Tucker, who is friends of the Rucci family, when he talked about this, he reiterated, and I'm sure this is coming from the Rucci family, that James Franklin and his staff did everything possible. They did a great job in recruiting. They just could not overcome that it was his brother playing in Wisconsin, and the opportunity to line up next to his brother was just too much to pass up. All right, let's go with PJ from San Diego, who asks, Greg, since it appears Penn State's having a rough 2021 year in recruiting, do you think it would be wise for them to hold back on some of the available scholarships and stockpile them for 2022? They're already off to a great start with the 2022 recruiting.
Yep. I 100% am on board with that. And here's why. I mean, again, this is going to be a smaller than normal class, Jim. It's a weird year for recruiting. And if you're taking a shot on guys, you're going to probably be taking it off of combine or other virtual workout video they submitted to you because you haven't had your own camps or anything like that. So I don't think this is the year to get risky and take some flyers or take some guys who you think are diamonds in the rough. And I'm not saying Penn State should stop recruiting the class of 2021 in its entirety. But what I am saying is I do believe pretty strongly that Penn State is in a position where all the times we've talked about, well, the 19 class will be the next big one, then the 20 class will be the next big one, then the 2021 class is going to be the next big one, going back to the year that Micah Parsons signed and Penn State finished with a top five class in the country. I do think that 2022 team is, or 2022 class rather, is the group that can actually legitimately really be that quote-unquote big recruiting class that helps push you over the top. So I'd rather have more scholarships to use there, especially when you know, again, that 2021 is going to be small to begin with. If you oversign that, that means that 2022, you're going to run out of room there. So yeah, Jim, that's where I'm at with it at this point, 100%.
And throw in the fact that this year does not count. So those 21 recruits for next year who are going to be true freshmen, well, there were 2020 recruits who are going to be still considered true freshmen next year. So that muddies the water also. All right, next up, let's go with Mike in Shillington. Mike says, Greg, got a general recruiting question for you. What do you think Caleb Williams is thinking when he sees Spencer Rattler, the redshirt freshman quarterback, what he did on Saturday for Oklahoma? I know this is only one game. Anything could happen, but is this someone he could possibly sit behind for a few seasons? Reminds me of the situation with Justin Fields in Georgia all over again. Do you think recruits are starting to think, I want to go here and win the job, but if I don't, I'll always have the option to transfer without penalty?
Yes. Sorry, I wasn't sure if there was more to that question or not, so I held on there for a second. Yeah, Jim, absolutely. I mean, look, we just saw the other day Justin Shorter, the former Penn State receiver, got a transfer waiver. It seems to me, Jim, that if you're a quarterback, you're always going to get an immediate eligibility waiver. So, yeah, I mean, I think you go to these places thinking, I can win the job, I can be the man, and if not, then you have that to fall back on. And a precedent from the NCAA has unfortunately already been established, and I just think that, you know, I think we're getting closer to a point where all that transfer stuff will just go out the window and it'll just be, it's been called a free for all, the wild, wild west and so on and so forth. And maybe that's okay. Maybe there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that even if you don't like the idea, I would assume we can agree that it would be better than doing what we do now, which is just arbitrarily picking who gets to play right away without following the rules and who doesn't. So I could certainly see that being the case. Yep. A lot of agreement with our question askers this week, Jim.
Well, they're good questions. And
they
just
are.
To follow up on it, you know, my thoughts on this, I don't think Caleb Williams picks Oklahoma with the idea that, well, if this doesn't work out, I'll transfer. I believe he's going there for all the right reasons. But what happens is perhaps the reality, which is to arrive like Justin Fields went through, and no, you're not going to step right on the field and necessarily beat out the incumbent. I think that's when reality hits. And candidly, even though I'm the old timer, you think, you know, I'm a traditionalist in a lot of ways, letting these players decide their own fate and being able to move to another school, I have no problem with that. Next up is our buddy Mike from Colorado. He says, hey guys, thanks for keeping on and giving us content and hope that a season will happen. He asked, could you see some player sometime in college football never playing a down and going pro due to a redshirt, postponed season, etc. combination? If you're a freak athlete, it may not be worth them playing and getting injured.
Well, I think a lot of that probably depends on what happens next, Jim, as it relates to, you know, all of this NIL stuff and getting money for endorsements and things like that. And do these guys end up with a players association of some sort, not a union, but some kind of seat at the table? Can they get more money? I think if the money starts to be right, then you won't see that happen. But if not, I mean, you know, the XFL is going to try and come back. I just wonder if guys maybe just say, I'm not going to college, I'll go to that for a couple of years. So we'll see. But yeah, anything's possible to me at this point, Jim. It's 2020, man. There's nothing that should be taken off the table.
Well, we've gone from, you know, skipping a bowl to potentially skipping a, you know, last year of eligibility. These players that are making more and more of a business decision, and I really don't have a problem with that. All right, that is it for Ask Greg. We will try to remember the name the winner at the start of quarter number four, so stick around.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is bringing back their can't-miss offer. All new users can place a $1 bet on any team during Week 2, and if that team wins, you win $100. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.